a lot of New York sports talk, BT, is negativity. It's not our fault. It's just the reality of the situation.
That's the teams we cover and watch. It's their fault.
Yeah, right. We have plenty of them here in New York.
We do our job. Yeah. They don't do theirs.
Yeah, right. Most of the time, they stink. So on a day like today where you get the Jets doing what they should do, beat up on the Patriots with ease, Thursday Night Football, what an exciting night that was. We talked about the Yankees yesterday celebrating their playoff berth. And the Mets last night pounding the Phillies. I wasn't watching the game, obviously, because I was at the Jet game, but I'm checking the scores and seeing that the Mets exploded for 10 runs again.
I got to tell you, even though I shouldn't be as surprised, I'm still surprised with the amount of runs that they're putting up. So last night was the 10th spot. The night before was the 10th spot. 30 runs in three games without Lindor. I mean, just you got to throw that in there without Lindor. So two nights ago,
first time in franchise history, by the way.
They've scored 10 in a row. Jerry just had that in the update. I did see that as well. So two nights ago, I'm jogging out to the third base coach's box to coach. We have a game. And I said to one of the other coaches on the other team, I said, hey, how are the Mets doing? He's like, yeah, they're up 9, whatever. I think 9-0, the score. I'm like, what? Yeah. Like, it just really surprised me, like, that they were up that much, even though it's the Nationals. And then last night, obviously, I'm dialed into the Jets. I put Channel 9 on, and I'm like, what? They're destroyed. They're scored again? And what's happening? Well, first of all, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Did Pete hit a home run early enough for you? I mean, was it a meaningful enough home run? I mean, it's early in the game.
I mean,
it was
only
a little bloop.
It was the only hit he had. But yes, that was a sufficient. Yes, good moment for Pete. Finally,
Pete's waking up a little bit. Vientos is getting things started, getting back in gear a little bit. Alvarez starting to find his long ball stroke.
Well, I thought the Alvarez homer from the other night was more important because now Alvarez looking legit. And how about Nimmo?
Nimmo, that was big. Nimmo started joining the party here. Listen,
look out!
It's the purple pilgrimage out to that seat out there. Did you see that?
I'm fine.
They have the police out there around the purple seat. People are going to Citi Field now before the first
pictures
and take it. And listen,
well, what they think
it's
was
purple power, dude.
Yeah, well,
I mean, you can just scoff at it all you want. Again. They have not lost since Grimace came back.
Yeah, well, and they're scoring 10 runs a game, which is ridiculous. But
Grimace on steroids.
Much like we said with the Yankees, how they're starting to gel and click at the right time going into the postseason.
Could
you be hotter than the Mets right now with the starting pitching and then with the bats without Lindor? I mean, there comes a point where you're thinking, all right, like they've endured this and that and this and that and this and that. This stretch without Lindor, it's like at some point it's probably going to catch up to him. It hasn't yet. It's like it's to go. I know three against the Phillies still here, three against the Braves still, but no Lindor, no problem. It's unbelievable.
The reason why, now, I mean, you're not going to get 10 runs every night, but, you know, the way the pitching staff is putting up enough zeros to give them a chance to do something on offense is beyond what anybody thought was imaginable for this team. I remember saying, and, man, this is a massive, I got a lot of L's with the Mets here, open door stuff, give up the lefty side of the box.
Right.
A few other things as well, I'll own it. I remember saying going into the season that the Mets rotation might be among the worst in baseball. It's actually among the best.
Which is unbelievable.
And it's among the most clutch here, and it is on fire. And think about the mindset and the psychology of the Jet/Met fan today. I mean, the two most tortured fan bases in our city. You wake up. I mean, Rodgers looked like he's 28 years old, and here the Mets are continue doing what they're doing. Magic.
We're almost all the way back up in New York. Almost, because the Giants, we'll get to them coming up in a little bit, but they're the ones holding us back. You got the Knicks you're excited about, even the Rangers. You know,
absolutely the Rangers,
obviously the Jets we're excited about, Mets and Yankees
Patino
going to postseason.
Coming.
Yes, St. John, the Johnnies are back. The Giants need to get a freaking win. We'll get to them, but what a performance from the Mets. Now, still, BT, not over. Got to go out there, win a series from Philadelphia. I think far from over, and then go beat those Braves, but my goodness, the Mets are a machine right now.
Can I ask you a question before we get back to these calls here? So we have plans to go to the game tonight.
Yes.
I want your honest opinion on this.
Yeah.
All right? And I feel like ass, but my plan is to battle through.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I never bring medicine. And I'm actually, I have stuff now, right?
Yeah.
But this is in the books, and I want to go and feel the energy at Citi. I like Citi Field. I want to show the Mets some respect and go there and watch this. It's going to be a great environment. 35,000 last night, probably more tonight. If I go and they lose...
You're not allowed back.
you know, I don't want to be attached to anything.
As long as you have a mush declaration. I'm not into the jinxes, as you know that. I mean, I'm sure there's some people that are thinking, oh, they don't want me to go.
They don't want me to jinx, meaning you?
Yeah, that's right. Or us, whatever. I don't care. Yeah, not my problem. I'm not a mush. I've seen plenty of wins there before. So now we're going to go have fun.
Yeah.
I should give you a little taste of the playoff atmosphere.
Yeah, I know the Met fans waiting to meet me here, so I can't disappoint them, right?
Yeah, section 109.
They're heroes home.
Yeah, Section 109. You pay too much attention to that stuff on social media.
Oh, no. You think I care?
Yeah, no, I'm saying that that's not even real life.
I don't care about that.
Even the Jet fans yesterday were great.
Of course.
Meeting Jet fans was fun. You know?
Because you were wearing a Jet shirt.
Well, but still, it doesn't matter.
I mean, you were kissing their ass a little bit.
And
then you bought the Jets hat.
Oh, you know why I had to do that?
I see a picture of Sal, the Jets hoodie, not even a Jets fan, Jets hoodie, Jets hat. Of course they're going to be nice to you. You're wearing their, if I wore a Mets sweatshirt tonight, they might be like, what is this, you know, Yankee fan? Why is he a turncoat?
They just want to hang, it's fun hanging out, watching sports. The reason why I had to buy a hat, the damn lights.
Did you buy that at the stadium?
Yeah, I had to because the lights from the other section in my eyes, I couldn't see.
Yeah, you and these lights.
No, I know, but it was actually so bad that even my buddy Brian, who doesn't have bad eyes, I do have bad eyes, so it's a problem.
Yeah.
But even he was like, man, that's why he bought the hat as well.
Really?
To protect from the glare.
How much? $35? How much is that hat there?
$30. It wasn't bad.
Not bad.
A nice hat in the stadium,
nice
$30.
You going to give it to me now? You don't need it again.
I actually like it.
You're not a Jets fan.
Yes, I am. I root for the Jets with Aaron Rodgers. John is in Pittsburgh. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, John.
BT and Sal, have a day. Great win. And, guys, I got to, you know, first and foremost, shout out at Bear Down Cuz, Only Subs Brotherhood, for smashing the Jets money line and under parlay. Big hit last night. Listen, guys, 2 points. A man can celebrate the wins, but they can also put some hand-up accountability when they're wrong. I called 2 weeks ago, trash Joe Douglas and the Will McDonald pick. Hey, he might be a listener for your show because now he's second in the league in sacks. He's got 5. Two in the last 2 weeks. Amazing
Hey,
stuff.
John, by the way, he has more sacks than like 15 teams have sacks so far this year.
He's like top 2 or top 3 right now in the league. So maybe he listened to me dog him the other week with you guys, and he really stepped up. Listen, I'm 39 years old. We got a duo at the running back position that probably hasn't been this good since Thomas Jones and Sean Green. I heard some other callers with comparisons, but that's like, this is the best running back duo we've had in 15 years.
No question.
And I'm 39. I've seen a lot of quarterbacks play on this team, and through 3 weeks, I've never seen a quarterback like this before. The pre-snap read.
It's a different
accuracy,
animal. I mean,
even that rollout before the first half ended, and he almost hit a dime in the hands of Mike Williams in the back of the end zone on a 50-yard bomb. I haven't seen anyone throw that since Brett Favre on the Jets. But listen, it's early. I want to get your thoughts on the upcoming week. But yeah, this is amazing to feel like this. I haven't seen this in 15 years. Have a day, boys. Shout out all the time.
I haven't seen it in 50 years.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Jet fans haven't seen this. I mean, he's a different, and not even what he does on the field, the pre-snap reads, all that stuff. How about the energy and confidence he brings to this team? That's what made me fall in love with him at first sight. When you get Aaron Rodgers, you hear what he says about, you know, embracing this town and the Super Bowl trophy being lonely. Now, if he delivers, he's going to be looked at like Mark Messier in this town, which you can't get any. Aaron Rodgers will go from a sports legend to a New York sports god if he delivers a Super Bowl. Why be a king when you could be a god? That's what Rodgers can be, a New York sports god. There is no greater honor. Talking Mark Messier delivering the Stanley Cup, 54-year curse. That's what Rodgers would be. But that attitude, BT, I mean, it's different. Enjoy it. This is special right here.
I like that. New York sports god.
Why be a king when you can be a god? Well,
yeah, that's
there's no higher honor than that, right? To be like, king, what? This, by the way, this comes from the rap song Eminem, Rap God.
Mm-hmm.
In the song, he says, "Why be a king when you could be a god?" So that's what I mean. He's right. Why be a king when you could be a god?
You lifted it from somebody.
Well, yeah,
I mean, it was original. I was giving you props here.
No, why be a king? No, I'm taking it from Eminem.
Well, I take it back.
Why be a king when you could be? Rodgers will be a sports god if he gets a chance. Man, he's already on his way to being a king or a legend, whatever you want to say. But if he wins a Super Bowl,
it was just so enjoyable watching them operate last night. The precision and really, you know, and there's some things with Salah with the timeouts that I want to get to a little bit later, but I thought that Hackett and Ulbrich were really, like, the coordinators were really dialed in. Really dialed in. Both guys took some dents. Now, Ulbrich has been the DC for an elite or, depending, you know, borderline elite or great or almost great defense since he's been here, basically. He's done a really good job. And Hackett's been the source of consternation for many Jet fans, like many Jet OCs, because the Jets never score points. But last night, both coordinators were locked in. Their play calls were money. They also both, especially Ulbrich, deviated from what he likes doing. He doesn't like forcing pressure. He forced the pressure. He sold out on the run, forced the pressure. So, you know, shout out to the coordinator. We usually bag on them, but when they do a really nice job, you got to tip the cap.
John is in Manhattan. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
I'll start with a little bit. We got to give the flowers to the offense and actually Hackett for the first time in probably forever. Great game plan last night. Really got Rodgers seeing the field more clearly now. We do need to talk about some of the negatives. I mean, it's not, first of all, the Patriots are horrific.
They stink.
I was at the game. They are just awful.
Yep.
They couldn't move the ball. Their lives depended on it. But 8 penalties for 106 yards.
Yep.
The clock management at the end of the first half was just mind-bogglingly bad. And then you hear no accountability from Saleh after the game, saying we need to clean this stuff up. He's acting like we just won the Super Bowl. He's trying to hug Rodgers. So that's very confusing to me. And then
I don't think he was acting like they won the Super Bowl. I mean, see, here's the problem, and thank you for the call, John. If Saleh doesn't show emotion, we rip him and say, can the guy show some emotion on the sideline and get excited for
a change? That's true. That's true.
And then when he does, it's, well, he's acting like they won the Super Bowl. So which one is it? I mean, look, I said Saleh's the worst head coach in the league before, so I could get on him. But, I mean, can you lay off him for once? This is not his fault because he wanted to hug Aaron Rodgers.
Now, that is some petty criticisms there. There's real criticisms to Levy, and the caller's right in terms of the timeouts. The mismanagement at the end of the first half was egregious. You're talking 8, 9, 10 second difference. Now, if you make the kick, the complaints aren't as loud, and that's Zerline's got to bang that in. He hooked it to the left. That was an ugly looking kick there, but I think that's more of an outlier. He's obviously very good. So if it goes through, it's a little less criticism, but it doesn't obscure the fact that he still gets confused when things speed up and you need to be in control. Do I do the timeout? Do I spike it? Do I whatever? And then when you burn 2 timeouts within the first 8 minutes of the third quarter, man, now the Patriots are just nowhere near. They have no vertical threats. They had 2 rookies on the offensive line. They have a rookie head coach who may or may not be good at some point. I don't know. Jacoby Brissett, I respect his heart and his journey, but let's face it, he's the ultimate definition of average. I mean, he can't move. He doesn't have a rocket. He is what he is. He's a placeholder for Drake May. So the Jets were going to win that game no matter what. That's why you and I said that they would just bulldoze him, and they did. But when you're playing a big game against Andy Reid, or if the Bengals get their act together,
or Sean McDermott,
Sean McDermott with the Buffalo Bills, or even McDaniel, we'll see what happens with Tua, but they have a ton of talent. There's a lot. The Steelers are a very well-coached team. You can't have that. That's how you lose a chance to either win a division or a playoff game. I'm not going to scream about it today because I don't want it to obscure the win. But to get on the air, or be a fan and get so wrapped up in all the good and there was a lot, and I'm loving it, and completely ignore the bad is irresponsible. He just doesn't know how to call timeouts.
And
it's baffling. How long have you been here? How do you not know when to call the timeout?
And eventually it will become a bigger story, but I'll tell you last night, you know, being there, I cheered for Rodgers at certain points. You know, hey, let's go, Aaron, whatever it may be. But the loudest scream of the night for me was exactly that.
I
have no tolerance for that. You look up at the clock, third quarter, and the corner, another timeout. How are you doing that? It's unacceptable, that mismanagement. Now, was it the biggest thing to come from last night? No, but it shows you the problems moving forward. I yelled out something like, what the hell are we doing here? You cannot be burning. There's no excuse. 2 timeouts with that, not to mention with that lead. Like, but even if you didn't have that lead, there's no excuse ever, period, end of story, to burn 2 timeouts with 8 minutes to go in the third
quarter.
Take
the 5 yards. What's
more
valuable?
Cow.
Holding on to the 5 yards, you're getting banged out for 5 yards, and hold on to the timeout.
I thought I heard the whole post game. I didn't hear him explain that. Did anybody ask him after? Probably got lost because nobody really cared.
I did not hear that addressed.
I mean, I'd love to actually hear the answer to that. What are you possibly thinking? It drives me nuts, dude.
No, listen, and it should. Herm Edwards was not good with this. He had an assistant. His name was Dick Curl. That was his name, God almighty. But he would assist Herm with, hey, let's get a timeout, down a distance stuff. It's okay if you're a little deficient in that area, But hand the reins to somebody who knows what the hell to do.
Like, I'd be annoyed if it were one timeout being used at that point in the third quarter.
Me too.
Two? You know how you know that a coach knows what he's doing? You don't have to watch every game, right? But if you're just, so let's say the Jets or Giants games finish, whatever, you're watching games around the league, you look at the end of the half or the end of the game, how many timeouts are left for each team?
Correct.
It's pretty simple. They've got all three timeouts left. They're in a great spot. This coach knows what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
You look at it, you see the Jets, they got one timeout left 8 minutes ago in the third quarter. How is that even possible? What happened? You need two timeouts here?
And Sal, by the way, it's not like they were on the road where the crowd was so deafening that they couldn't even get their offense going. They're at home.
Drives me up a wall, dude. I'll admit that I have a short fuse with certain things. That is clearly one. Now, you're right. Like, it's not the biggest deal. And obviously, last night, the focal point should be the win. But those things,
mm-hmm.
when you're talking about fine-tuning, and it's week three, so nobody's going to be fine-tuning.
But he did it last year, too. And there you go.
That's the problem. But that's why when I say going into the year, I don't know if I could say Super Bowl with this team. I love Rodgers, but the coach, ultimately, I just don't believe in. Those things are going to come back to haunt them.
I know.
In the big games, whether it's Monday night against the Bills,
yeah.
whether it's against a well-coached Vikings team, those little things in a competitive game mm-hmm. are going
to
hurt them.
That's why I said, and again, it's never meant to be disrespectful, because I think Robert Saleh, he comes across as a beautiful human being. I really mean that. Like, as a dad, and what you hear, and just as a person with empathy. No, just a good man, a well-intentioned, well-principled person, who, by the way, is great coaching, like a great defensive acumen as well. But if the Jets are going to win this year, I said this during the summer, and I do think they're going to win a lot this year, in some level they're going to win in spite of their head coach.
Two things real quick, BT. This is why I hate gambling and fantasy sports in general. I got to tell you this.
Okay.
So I drafted Tyler Conklin, right?
Nobody cares about your team.
Yeah, exactly. You're exactly right. Nobody does care about the team, but it does pertain to the Jets and why fantasy football sucks in general.
Go ahead.
I'm thinking like, all right, he'll be used, whatever. Tight end, not a big deal. Actually, mm-hmm. he's my second. Well, one guy got hurt, so I'm have Conklin in there.
What did you pick him up or draft him?
No, no, I drafted him.
Okay,
draft
what
him.
Round? Hopefully like 10, 12, late.
Way later.
All right.
But Evan Ingram's hurt, so I need a tight end.
Yes.
And then I'm reading stuff on Conklin, and even though I know better because I picked him, even though I know better, I'm reading stuff, and it's like, they're not even going to use him. They haven't used him the first couple of weeks. Forget it. And instead, I bench him, and then last night he goes out there and has 5 catches for 93 yards. Okay, that's a small issue. It's just one. It's reason 1,080 why I hate fantasy football.
What was your other option if you didn't... who did you play?
Hunter Henry.
Hunter Henry actually had a big catch, but yeah. So you went with Henry against the Jets.
Which is, it just didn't make any sense. Well, because Henry's had, he's the only guy they use.
I know.
And they target him like 8 times, whatever it may be. And it's just stupid. You're right. It was a stupid thing. It's why I hate myself for it.
Huh?
Then do you remember yesterday when I was telling you about my bet for the game that I bet with the Jets?
That you got it early and you got him at what, 6.5?
Yeah, Jets -6.5. I got it in earlier in the week. So okay. I go yesterday, last night after the game, just to see my account. You know, you like seeing the money pile up in the account. That's part of the fun. And
there's also days when you don't want to look at it at all. I just got crushed and I can't even open this up.
Yeah, exactly. It's over.
Yeah.
And I go look at the account and I don't see the money in there. I'm like, that's odd. What happened? What did they not pay out?
I already know what happened. I could already guess what happened.
So I go look at it, and I'm like I was 1,000% sure that I made that bet.
Mm-hmm.
I did make the bet, but it was a two-team parlay.
What was the other aspect?
Take a freaking guess.
Don't say the over.
No.
Okay.
It didn't lose. It's still pending.
Giants?
Yes! I did it again!
What is wrong with you?
I don't know. I don't know what I was thinking. I had $142 left.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I love the Jets. It's my best bet of the week. They're going to roll so much so that I usually never bet games on Monday.
Yeah.
I don't know what I was thinking. I thought I had the Jets. And then maybe I can mess around with the Giants or do another parlay. I don't know what I'm thinking.
Did you at least take the Giants with the 7 or
the
money line?
Yeah, it's either 6.5 or 7. I got to log in. But I thought for sure I had that bet. That happens sometimes. But
that has happened where I thought I bet one thing and I accidentally put the other. Yeah, no, I doesn't happen often. And it doesn't happen where I think I have a single bet and it turns into a parlay or a reverse or a round robin or like multi-stuff. But I have clicked the wrong box on occasion. That absolutely sucks. I've also clicked the wrong box and won.
Yeah,
a couple times. That sucks, man.
What an idiot. All right, BT and Sal.
Well, maybe the Giants play well.
Yeah, no, they can still win. And the good thing is the payout is significantly better. But
you know
just
what you could do? Put $75 on the Giants to get hammered.
Hey, did you go the other way?
Yeah, at least you have a little something in the account.
Yeah, or check what the options are to cash out. But I'll probably just let it ride. But I was just so annoyed. I thought I was counting my money. Ugh. Chris is in Belleville, New Jersey. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's up, guys? You know, so many things watching the game last night that you saw that you never see from watching the Jets. And, you know, I'm sitting there watching with my 10-year-old daughter on the couch, and I realized towards the end of the game, my God, you were 1 year old the last time the Jets beat the Patriots at home, which is crazy just to think about. But the biggest stat the biggest thing that stood out to me last night was the third down conversion, which the Jets just never convert on third down. They never seem prepared with a play on third down. You always think they're just going to punt the ball once they get to third down.
Yep.
They've had 21 third down conversions in the first three games of this year. 10 of them last night. Where I looked it up last year, they only had 8 going into the first three games. To me, that's the biggest change in this offensive team is just the confidence on third down that, you know what, you're gonna have a plan, you're gonna have a play ready to get that first down compared to quarterbacks of the past where you get to third down and you just, here comes the punt.
Yeah, so, and Chris, by the way, Chris, it doesn't have to be third and three. Even like third seven, third eight, third nine, you're like, pretty good chance to figure something out here.
Look, the fact that they have Aaron Rodgers just changes everything. All the options are possible. And by the way, it's not just Aaron Rodgers, because we've mentioned this before, whether it's an improved offensive line, the dual backs, the weapons that they have at wide receiver, but it all really stems from what Aaron Rodgers can do. If he needs to hand the ball off, he'll hand the ball off. If he sees something in defense where he's going to throw it, he's going to make that decision. I mean, the possibilities and the limitations are endless with Aaron Rodgers being your quarterback, even at this age.
Well, that's why I said to start the show that the ceiling raises just a little bit, because now that you see you saw real mobility from him. And not just mobility from a guy who had his Achilles roll up on him. I mean mobility, period. Like, I'm not saying he's running around there like Lamar Jackson.
Right.
But functional quickness, like to extend the play. And I gave you some numbers, next-gen stuff that backs that up. It's the most he's actually sprinted in a game distance-wise since 2018. But I think that the Jets offense to me, and here's what I'm really, really excited about. The chemistry, in addition to the running backs and the O-line, I mean, really everything, but I want to focus on one thing quick. The chemistry with Rodgers and Wilson's not yet there. It's going to be. And when that starts to happen more and more, guess who is going to go nuts? Mike Williams. I mean, I know fantasy players know, Mike Williams really good for the Chargers. Like, but you see how big he is, and you see some of even the Tennessee grab down the sideline. Yeah. You see some of those 50-50 balls, although we had a chance to get one last night in the end zone, did not. I thought he could have. I think he should have. I think he jumped a bit early. Mike Williams is going to be a force. And this Jets offense is, they're going to score a lot of touchdowns.
Williams is a perfect compliment to Garrett Wilson. You're right. They're just getting going right now. Matt is in Tampa, Florida. What's up, Matt?
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call. Big fan of your show. You guys keep me connected to New York sports from here in Florida, so I appreciate you guys. Sal, new to your career, but what you bring passion to the show, I love it. BT, I've been a fan since Wheelhouse, so congrats to both of you on your show, your family.
Thanks,
everything.
Man.
Congrats. You guys get the flowers. You guys.
That's awesome. Dude.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. What's happening?
As far as Joe Douglas, I think he gets flowers too, but they're tulips right now. I change them to roses once we see how he does restructuring or the extensions to, you know, the big four, Breece, Jermaine, Garrett, Sauce. That's going to be interesting because they're like right back to back to back to back, the pivotal positions. But yesterday it was an odd one for me because I'm usually watching Jets games with my hand over my head with one eye on it. But this is the first time I got to enjoy the game, and it was just weird to me to basically enjoy the game from wire to wire. It was great. We have 9 touchdowns in week 3. Last year it took us to week 11.
Yeah, that was a good stat. I wrote that. You beat me to week 11 is when the Jets scored their 9th offensive touchdown. Not week 11!
I mean, that's absurd when you actually think about it. When you hear the number, the stat, like we watched it.
I know. It's not stunning when you lived it. Like, I wasn't surprised. I was just like, it was just a reinforcement of our football hell. But it didn't seem like it was an off base. Sometimes you see a stat, you're like, there's no way that that's true. I'm like, yeah, kind of felt that way.
The reason why we love being sports fans. Now, we know that the majority of time it's pain, right? But the more pain you endure, that's what makes the winning so special. As rare as it may be for the Jets or the Mets, that's what makes it so much special. What the Jet fan is experiencing right now. Now, again, it's only week 3. We're just getting started here. But compared to what you've endured for years, Good God. And the thoughts of thinking about a home playoff game for the first time in 22 years or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking that driving home last night, like, we got to go to that home playoff game.
Was
it the Colts, the blowout?
Yeah. Was that 44? I remember.
02? I think I heard them mention it.
02 sound. Yeah, because I was living in Detroit. I was like the only one there who cared about the game. You know, obviously I was out there working, just getting going in my career. It was 02. I was out there in 02. It was either 02 or 01 or 02. I mean, I was. That's when I was there.
That was the last home playoff game?
I was there at 98 when they beat Coughlin's Jaguars and Keyshawn had a reverse, because Parcells, obviously. I was at the game, and Keyshawn ran in a reverse. He caught a touchdown, and he actually had an interception. Do you remember that? Keyshawn had an interception at the end when Mark Brunell just chucked one down and Parcells.
Because
he's, 6'3", 6'4". Now, there's a lot of things to get excited about. And by the way, part of this, and this pertains to the Yankees and the Mets as well. You'll see where I'm going. I think you might like this, Sal.
2003, Dover.
Oh, 03, okay. So not, well,
the 02 season,
03 calendar. Yeah. Thank you very much for the clarification. I think that when you look at the Yanks and the Mets, both imperfect teams, right? There's two ways to react to it. You could react to what the Yankees and the Mets have that are good, and there's a lot of good things, even though they're not perfect. But you could also sit there and say, hey, why can't the Yankees win it this year? Why can't the Mets win it this year? Because the other teams are flawed as well, right? The early, around Major League Baseball, the early sign in the NFL this year, Sal, is that a lot of the other teams are flawed too.
Right.
So not only can you look at the Jets and say, hey, man, the Jets have a whole line better, a couple of beasts in the backfield, receivers, Rodgers, this, that, the other thing, whatever. Will McDonald taking a big step forward, et cetera. Maybe get the Reddick thing done eventually. But you look around the NFL, like, I don't think the Steelers are scoring a lot of points this year. The Ravens have yet to win. They very well might go to 0-3. They're playing Dallas. I think they're in Dallas this weekend.
Right, that'll be a great game.
It's good. Well, maybe, unless the Ravens are a mess.
Meaning storyline, Cowboys can't lose after they just got pasted, but the Ravens have to win that game.
Yeah, but the point being, there's a lot of situations. Like the Chargers and the Steelers are both 2-0. One of those teams going to get saddled with their first loss. All right, Miami's good. When's Tua coming back? So you really don't know. I don't think that there's a powerhouse. And I know that the Chiefs are going for 3 in a row, but the Jets almost beat the Chiefs last year with Zach.
Maybe we get more than just one playoff game. And before we break, and we'll come back and talk Giants, we'll reset. We have the Jets. We have a lot to get to. Costos, the perfect parlay picks. It just never dawned on me. We talk about the last home playoff game, the 2002 season, which is a long time ago. We know they've made the playoffs in 13, 14 years, whatever it is. And we always talk about, well, the Mets, the last time they won a World Series, feels like 40 years ago. Obviously 1986. Since the 1986 season, Jets played a home playoff game in 1986. Since then, they've had two home playoff games. Two, I'm not talking about championships. Two home playoff games since 1986 or following that season. Two home playoff games, that's it? That's right, I'm looking at it now. Jacksonville, the game you referenced in 98, and the Colts. And how is that possible?
And even the point of reference in 86 was as painful a play, even though it wasn't at the Meadowlands, but the way they were ousted from the playoffs that year was as painful as it gets when Mark Gastineau had the late hit.
In Cleveland
on Bernie
in overtime to the Browns.
Yes, the Jets should have won.
I mean, that is...
That's crazy.
Like, think about the Mets at least have had multiple home playoff rounds. Forget about just the games since then.
Mm.
Every team has. The Jets have had two home playoff games since 1986. Wow. All right, we'll get to the Giants when we come back. More of your calls on the Jets and Mets as well. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan. Huge, huge game for the Giants. It's funny, BT, we've said week one, wow, this is a must-win. Got to beat the Vikings at home. And they get smoked by the Vikings at home. And then we go week two, this is a must-win. If you can't beat Washington, who are you going to beat? This is a must-win. And they lose that one. Well, this is an actual must-win. All right, we've given you back the wiggle room. Whatever wiggle room you thought you had, it's gone. They have to win this game. If the Giants don't beat Cleveland, I know they're 6-point, 7-point underdogs, whatever it is.
Yeah.
If it'll be Cleveland, it's over. I mean, that's a wrap on the Giants season. And then the conversation becomes, how bad will this get? And will Dable and Shane actually find themselves on the hot seat?
And this time we mean it, Sal.
Yeah. I mean, this has to be it, though, no?
It is. I mean, there's only, three teams in the NFC. The AFC's got a few. The entire AFC South, except the Texans. Most teams are, pardon me, there's only three teams in the NFC that are 0-2. Giants are one of them. So you start to look at the state of the division and the conference, even though I don't think it's going to really matter because I don't think the Giants are going to be remotely good enough for it to matter, unfortunately. But yeah, I mean, come back with a loss, that's one thing, and that's not good, and that's unacceptable. But if you come back with an ugly loss, that's where the tone's going to get even more, or go even more in a direction that is dangerous. Because think about the conversation this week on the radio. It's been about whether it's right or wrong. You know, the questions, going back to Jordan's questions and Pat Leonard's questions and the exchange at the press conference, you and I, it's the first thing we talked about Monday.
Right.
Like, there's already a contentious feel. There's a little acrimony, and I don't know who's right, and you know, I don't have any dog in the matter. If anything, I'm rooting for Dable because he's the coach of the Giants. I don't know those other two guys. You know, right. Pat a little bit. I don't know him, and I don't talk out of school about people I don't know. I think the questions were fair, although maybe a little early, but Dable's got to put out a good product this week. He must.
Here's the other part of it. It's not.
And even, by the way, in his defense, the product was pretty good in week two.
Well, it was better than it was.
It was definitely much better.
It was better than it was in week one. And again, I know it's just 2 weeks, but it's not just that they're 0-2 and who they lost to and how it even looked. Total points scored in the NFL, the Panthers are the only team that scored fewer points than the Giants.
Is that right? I'm not surprised, right now, but I didn't even realize
Panthers have scored 13 points in two games.
All right.
And the Giants have scored 24 points.
Now, that might change when the rest of the teams get to three, because the Pats' total is going to be pretty low at this point after last night. But, yeah, I mean, they're not going nuts on offense, and their defense.
New England's at 39 through three games.
Yeah,
but still 39.
Now, 13 again, a game.
Does that mean
stings,
everything after 2 weeks? No, but it means that it's not just that they're 0-2.
Yep.
It means that the only team that has mustered fewer points, the Panthers, who are like,
expensive
quarterback.
And Dable's an offensive background.
Yes.
Which matters. That's why I said the optics of this season matter.
Do you think they get a win here Sunday?
No.
No shot?
I'm not going to say no shot.
Cleveland's not that good.
No, I'm not going to trust Cleveland that much. I'm not going to say no shot. I don't think they win. You know, we'll do the spread stuff later with the picks.
Yeah.
Do I think the Giants have a chance to keep it interesting? Yeah, but not a real strong sense that they do. But I'm not going to rule it out.
I'm torn on this because last year I was burnt so many times with the Giants until they started paying it off a little bit toward the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But early on, I'm like, no, something's not right. I know they're not playing well, but I still believe in Dable, and I just believe in the team. And they just weren't getting, obviously, they weren't winning many games. And the injuries, whatever it may be. Okay, this year, same thing. Like, I believe in Dable. And you wanted to have maybe blind faith going into week one, and maybe even more so blind faith going into week two because of how bad it was in week one, but it was also the Commanders, and I believed in this team. And you saw them play significantly better. Again, didn't result in a win or a cover. And I don't know if it's time to go away from that belief in them or stick with it one more time. I think my gut is to just say, ride it out. You've come this far. Believe in them. They've let you down, sure. But one more time, believe in the Giants and Dable. And if they don't get it done this week, then I really have no choice but to abort whatever I thought the Giants were going to be with Dable. They're just going to have to show it to me.
I think that's a sensible take, because at that point it would completely morph into blind faith. You know, just kind of hanging on to this notion without the evidence. I'll be honest, kind of like me with Zach. I mean, you saw these little flickers and flashes, you know, and part of it is, you know, there's some talent in there, but you kind of, in your own mind, you almost twist things, and even if it's unintentional, and what you think you see isn't really what you are seeing. I mean, we've all been victims to that with different players. See, the thing that's tough about this Giants season, potentially, you look at the Pats last night.
All right.
So if you're a Patriots fan, number one, you've got all these championships, so you've been satisfied. I mean, you should be able to go through a rebuild. God forbid you go through a couple of rough years. I mean, come on. You know, after what we've been through here with these teams.
Suck it up a
little bit. I'm not exactly feeling for you. But at least the Patriots have Drake May, but from their fans. So there's intrigue. Now, I don't know if he's going to be good. Who the heck knows? But there's intrigue, and it's like, all right, well, here's a storyline. So if the Patriots are, 2-11 or 3-13, which at some point I think they very well might be. I think they're awful. Then at least the Pats fan can latch onto their potential quarterback of the future. If the Giants season, and I don't think it'll take on that complexion. They're better than the Patriots. There's just much more talent on the Giants than the Patriots. I have no problem, identifying that. But if it does go really sideways, what do you latch on to besides, like, neighbors? Like, you know, it's not Jones. There's nobody in the bullpen that's interested, unless you want to get back on the DeVito train, whatever. You don't fully believe in the coach or at all at that point. It's a different energy, and that's what can make it tough.
But that's why this year was I wanted this year to be about development of the next franchise quarterback.
Yeah, yeah, you always said that.
Yes. I mean, you could go back to 3 years ago or 2 years ago, whatever, when Shane and Dable first took over. I just felt like, okay, this is now, the conversation should change from Jones and Barkley to Shane Dable and the next guy. And instead, it was Shane Dable and Jones and Barkley. And it was that way for 2 years. And even in the offseason, was about Saquon still. And even now, there's still remnants of Saquon talk. And it's about Daniel Jones still. But because Jones is still here, and it's year three of this regime, it should then be about wins. Because if it's not developing the next franchise quarterback, mm-hmm. well, then what are we doing here? The sentiment already has been, well, lose on purpose to get the next guy. Well, that's not a season.
Yeah.
You can't have that be the season. So the reality is, this team, as limited as they may be, and as stale as the quarterback situation may be, it's about winning now, which is very problematic when you consider the results of the first 2 weeks. If they do not win this game in Cleveland, then I would start to say, okay, now there's, maybe I question my belief in Dable, and maybe there is a chance this goes off the rails. Hey, look, I mean, you have strong opinions. Sometimes it's going to be right. Sometimes it's going to be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in Dable, but it doesn't mean that it's right. Maybe I misread this. Maybe he is wrong. Maybe he's not. Maybe I am wrong. Maybe he's not the head coach that I think he is. I'm going to go down fighting the one more week, believing that against a Cleveland team who is beatable. And to your point,
man, the defense is good.
Yeah, very good. The defense, very good. Hey, but it's the NFL.
That's true.
Stuff happens. Nobody thought the Raiders would beat the Ravens a week ago. Like, what should it be that unfathomable to believe the Giants could get a win
no,
on the road?
It's not high school with the disparity so large. I mean, it's like, yeah, we were a little surprised the Vikings beat the Niners, but it's not like, you know, you got this team ranked in the top 25 and they're bludgeoning team in high school. Yeah. They just show up and get off the bus, and it's like, wow, look at the difference in physicality, the speed. You got 10 kids going D1. This other team just opened. They hope they don't get blitzed by 7 touchdowns or, you know. So, no, it should never be that way in the NFL unless you are, it's a complete rebuild, which it's not, or you are just inept. And I don't believe anybody in the Giants is inept. I just think that they've got, I really don't. I don't think Shane's inept. I think that Dable has real value. But my thing, and this is my strong opinion with the Giants, I think Dable 2.0 is going to be a lot better than Dable 1.0, and I fear it's not here.
I don't even know if he's going to get an opportunity if it goes as bad as we're thinking.
Could go to college. I mean, I don't know. I'm not. Trust me, I want him to be here. I think he could be really good, but you got to start proving it again.
If this season is not about development and quarterback, and it's not, it's about wins. Gotta start winning.